Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are live right now to allow you to be a part of the broadcast, to pose your question or discuss your real-life issues. So we invite your calls now to 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. It's Basic Gospel, and it intersects with your life every day. Call now, 1-800-677-9377. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Want to remind our listeners just right up front that 2 weeks from today, Stand 2014 begins. Yeah. So if you haven't signed up, we encourage you to do so. All the information is at stand2014.com. My friends Andrew Farley, John Lynch, and Frank Reed are joining us for this. I think it's going to be a spectacular event.
I agree.
It's going to teach you how to stand firm in the love of God, in the truth of God, in the grace of God, in the life of God, in the promises of God, and in the power of God. I mean, this world we live in is a mess. There's not a lot of solid ground out there. It's shifting always underneath our feet. But we can find solid footing, and that's in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And that's what we want to help you do in your life, and that's what this conference is all about. So come join us June 19th through the 21st right here in Dallas, Texas at the beautiful Hope Center for Stand 2014, the conference. And all the information is at stand2014.com.
Yeah, just a quick reminder also, for those of you who are coming from out of town and need hotel accommodations, today is the cutoff date for the Hilton Garden Inn special rate that we've set up for the for you conferees. So be sure to go online to to stand2014.com, because all the information on the hotel is there as well. So take advantage of the special rate if you're coming in, and that deadline is tonight at midnight.
Yes, indeed. Well, Richard, we're talking about the Holy Spirit, and yesterday we talked about Pentecost and the meaning of Pentecost, and it really ties to the temple of God. I know a lot of times we go to church on Sundays, and we think once we enter into that front door, we've entered into the house of God. But that's not true according to the Word of God,
is it?
Not
at all. Not at all. In fact, we bring the church with us as many people as there are, 1, 2, 1,000, it doesn't matter. We are the church. And so the fact that we get together in a building is wonderful for fellowship, but the building is nothing other than a holding place for the church to show up.
Yeah, I love this passage in the book of Acts 17. Paul is in Athens, and he is talking with the philosophers of the day. And he makes this statement: the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by hands, and he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. So God doesn't live in these buildings that we erect. He lives in something that he's built himself, and he builds that through the power of the Holy Spirit. When somebody responds to Christ by faith, the Holy Spirit regenerates them, makes them alive together with Christ, and then places them into the body of Christ. Basically, fits us to be a building block in this temple that God is building for his permanent dwelling place here on earth. And so we are the temple of Jesus Christ. Christ lives in us individually, and Christ lives in us as a body corporately. That's what Pentecost is all about, and really that's what the Holy Spirit is doing. He is building this temple of God, isn't he?
Yeah, it's fascinating to me that when you consider building what we call a church building, you always have trade-offs, because if you design it one way, that means there's other things you can do and can't do and all that. But when you think of church organically, as the people of God, children of God, it is infinitely configurable by the Spirit to meet whatever need he's pointing it at. You can't do that in a building, but God can do it through his church.
Yeah, the church really is an organism, not an organization.
Yes.
And Jesus Christ is the head, and the Holy Spirit is kind of the fuel that moves us in the direction that Jesus wants us to go.
Yes.
And so if you're out there listening, you are a believer in Christ, you are a member of the body of Christ, you are one of the the stones, the living stones that God has used to build this temple, this dwelling place that he resides in today. That is just mind-boggling to think that Christ Jesus, the God of this universe, lives in me individually and lives in us corporately.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's Basic Gospel.
That's Basic Gospel. It is indeed. And we want you to be a part of this edition of Basic Gospel. You can do so by calling 1-800-677-9377. That, of course, good in the U.S. and in Canada. Open lines and all the time remaining on the clock. Take advantage of the opportunity, friends. We want to hear from you. 1-800-677-9377. Well, guys, a question from our friend Kelly, who lives in Tampa. She says, if all men that come from Adam are born spiritually dead, how did John the Baptist surpass this? Was he born with the indwelling spirit? Was it due to his Nazarite designation as a proclaimer of Christ, or was he without sin? My study notes indicate that the Holy Spirit indwelled him for his entire life. How is that possible prior to the day of Pentecost?
Well, it's a good question, Kelly, and as far as John the Baptist is concerned, he did not bypass that condition. No. He wasn't any different than you or me as far as what we inherited from mom and dad. We inherited an empty way of life. We inherited spiritual death, just what came to Adam and Eve after they fell in the garden. So John the Baptist was no different. What Jesus said of him was he's the greatest person that's lived, basically, and that his righteousness far exceeded the righteousness of the Pharisees. That's a totally different thing. Mm-hmm. And the reason is because he was on the right side of the covenant, basically. He was doing God's bidding, and that was to point people to Jesus Christ. That's what John the Baptist was set apart to do from the beginning. And when it says that the Holy Spirit controlled him or filled him, even when he was in the womb, what that means is that he was under the control of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So his life was directed by the Spirit of God, really from start to finish.
Yeah, totally at God's initiative, not at John's behavior.
Right. But the difference with John is that the Holy Spirit did not indwell him. The Holy Spirit came upon him, just as the Holy Spirit came upon other saints in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit came upon Saul and then departed from Saul. The Holy Spirit came upon David and set him apart as the new king over Israel. So the Holy Spirit was always active, but he was active in coming upon people and moving them in the direction that God wanted them to go. And that was the truth about John the Baptist. But he was pointing people to Jesus, those who came to know Jesus. And once Jesus had ascended and God had given him the gift of the Holy Spirit, well, he poured that out on mankind at Pentecost on that Sunday. And we were partakers of the Holy Spirit. We received that gift. We were made alive together in Christ. So we, as believers in Christ, had it better than John the Baptist does. And simply in the fact that we are indwelt by God's Spirit with the promise that he will never leave us nor forsake us.
Kelly, hope you're listening. Hope that's been a help to you. And friends, if you have a question, can't get to the phone while we're on the air live, we encourage your email to us at basicgospel.net. We'll be glad to address it on a later edition. So again, that's at basicgospel.net. Just drop us an email. Right now, drop us a phone call at 1-800-677-9377. Lines available right now.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Yonkers, New York, and talk with Roland. Hi, Roland.
Yeah, how are you today?
Doing fine, thank you.
Yeah, just a question about just church teachings and everybody's lessons are different from day to day. Hopefully they're helpful. But I notice a lot of Christians don't really understand the Holy Spirit, and a lot of churches neglect to teach their congregation about it. And I know it was a brother, I won't say his name, that he got with some brothers and started a Holy Spirit class, and he was told that he wasn't capable of doing it. And this was a person that's been a Christian for years, and they said the Holy Spirit is too complex to teach. I mean, are you familiar with, you know, people walking around not knowing their anointing and
well, Roland,
things like that?
Certainly the whole subject of the Holy Spirit is a very confusing subject. There's lots of opinion that is just swirling around out there, and it's not anchored to the Bible. It's not anchored to truth. There's groups of people that think the Holy Spirit, that the only thing the Holy Spirit does is enable us to speak in tongues. And that's all they talk about, is the Holy Spirit is making me speak in tongues or enabling me to speak in tongues. And that is the entirety of their understanding. Some folks believe that the Holy Spirit is there to enable us to cast out demons. And so a lot of times we just focus on those spectacular things that we think the Holy Spirit does. But when we look into the Word of God, we see that the teaching about the Holy Spirit in the Word of God is the most practical teaching in the Word of God. If it weren't for the Holy Spirit, we could not be born again. We could not have new birth. We could not be regenerated. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is the one that brings that about. If the Holy Spirit wasn't active in our lives, we wouldn't know truth. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is the one that reveals truth to us. He's the one that gives us understanding about the Word of God. Paul wrote about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Eye is not seen, ear is not heard, mind is not conceived of those things that God has freely given to us. But these have been revealed to us by the Spirit of God. If the Spirit of God wasn't actively involved in our lives, our minds wouldn't be renewed on truth. We would know absolutely nothing about Jesus Christ, because it's His job to take the things of the Lord Jesus and make them known to us. We wouldn't know anything about the love of God. Why? Because it takes the power of God's Spirit to work inside of us, to give us an understanding of the height and depth and length and breadth of the love of Christ. So when you add all of those things together, you see that the Holy Spirit has an incredible work to do in each and every one of us. And when we really understand what that work is, it really grounds us as believers in Christ and gives us that solid footing in this broken world that we live in.
Amen. Amen. Everything, I mean, definitely everything you said makes sense. But the beginning, you said about this people's distortion of what the Holy Spirit is. It could be speaking in tongues only to this person, or healing out demons only to that person. I mean,
yeah.
Besides those few, that majority of people you're talking about, I think there's something that we should dig into our Bibles and really seek out to understand.
I agree. I totally agree, Roland, and that's part of the reason we wanted to address the Holy Spirit this month on Basic Gospel, especially in light of the fact that Pentecost Sunday is this Sunday, and that centers on the person and work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So,
okay, real quick, because I know you guys are callers, about the temple. I know that a lot of Christians, that they're good people, they work, they love God, they do great things, just acts of service in the church, but when it comes to that temple, cigarettes, immorality, it's like that was then, this is now, and the Bible's cut and dry. We must do what the Bible says. So, you know, smoking and preaching and being immoral and preaching, and, you know, I mean, you got to answer to God. So what do you think about that? And I'm done. Thank you for your time.
Well, you're welcome, Roland, and thanks for your call. You know, that's one of those things we talk about, you know. You don't ever see somebody walking into a church building, lighting up a cigarette or any of those sort of things. And the reason is because there's a reverence for that building. In most people's minds, that is a sacred place, and many take it to that ultimate thing. This is the house of God. Well, that's not true. You know, God doesn't live in buildings. He lives in people. That was His choice, and that's what He made known to us the day of Pentecost. So we are the temple of God. And so when we understand that, we can look at our bodies differently. And I think that's a truth that we need to set as a foundational truth. This is where we set our feet, on the fact that our bodies have been redeemed by God. They've been purchased by the precious blood of Christ. They've been indwelt by the Spirit Himself. And so let's honor God in our bodies. That is, I think, the logic of the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
1-800-677-9377. Plenty of time on the clock, friends. Want you to be a part of this edition of Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. My name is Bob Davis, and we thank you for joining us. You can join us by phone at 1-800-677-9377.
Well, and just one quick note to our New York listeners, those who are tuned in to us on WMCA, mark July 24th on your calendars. We will be there in New York City. All the details are still being worked out, but we do have the date, and it's going to be an afternoon event at the American Bible Society. But as those details get fleshed out, we'll have more and more of those available to you, so stay tuned. But go ahead and save the date, July 24th. It'll be here before we know it.
That's good to have the date.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Brooklyn and talk with Eugene, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Eugene.
Hello, brothers. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing well. Nice to hear from you, good, as always.
Good. Same here. I heard a pastor speaking, and he said that you have to be baptized in order to be saved. And I just have a problem with that according to Scripture. And I just wanted to get your outlook on it, because for me, according to Scripture says to believe in Jesus and you will be saved, have your faith in Christ. And I think baptism comes as symbolic to being born again, but I don't think it's required to be saved, because then that will be like, what is grace? What is God's grace if you have to be do a part of work in order to be saved? But I just wanted to get your outlook on that.
Well, Eugene, water baptism is merely a celebration of what Christ has accomplished in our lives. It doesn't change us. It's really just a public testimony of the fact that we believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead and have confessed with our mouths that Jesus Christ is Lord. So it's a celebration of that event. But we really get hung up on water baptism, and I don't understand why we get hung up on that, especially in light of statements that Jesus made. For example, in Acts chapter 1, he looked at the apostles, his disciples, and said, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about." And then he says this, "For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So the baptism that's important as far as Jesus Christ is concerned is this baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that occurs the moment that we're saved. We are baptized by the Holy Spirit, placed into the body of Christ. And I think that's important for us to know. Paul identified that in his letter to the Romans, chapter 6. He talks about this spiritual baptism. He says, "Don't you know that all of us were baptized into Christ Jesus? We're baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." So that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're placed into the death of Christ. We're buried with him so that we can be raised to live a brand new life as believers in him. That's good news, isn't it?
Amen. It is very good news. Thank you so much for that answer. It answered a lot. Thank you.
You are welcome, Eugene. Thanks for your call.
Yes, indeed. Friends, I want to continue to remind you that we need your financial support to keep the good basic gospel news coming on your radio station. If you can help with a gift of any amount, we would really appreciate your partnering with us in that endeavor. And you can go online to basicgospel.net, again, basicgospel.net, or you can call 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours and make your gift. And for a gift of any amount, we're going to include a copy of the CD by Bob Christopher called About Spiritual Gifts. It's a wonderful adjunct to the program, and we encourage you to take advantage of that. The bottom line, though, is supporting the ministry and keeping this good news coming. So again, go online to basicgospel.net or call 1-800-727-2828 for a gift of any amount. About Spiritual Gifts will be yours.
Yes, indeed. And that CD, I think, is going to be a very valuable resource in the hands of people. As we've talked about, this subject of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, it is one confusing mess out there.
Yeah.
As far as the different angles of teaching this are concerned. I mean, you can come up with all sorts of things, but this particular CD, I think, cuts through all of that clutter and just brings it down to the bottom line. Mm-hmm. Who gives the spiritual gifts? The Holy Spirit does. For what purpose? For the building up of the body of Christ. Why does the body need to be built up? So that it can carry out its mission in the world at large. That's the role of spiritual gifts. The equipping of the saints, the building up of the body, so that the body can impact the world in such a way that the world sees Jesus and is willing to turn to him and respond to him in faith.
Yeah, that's the message from the CD by Bob Christopher called About Spiritual Gifts. And again, it's yours for a gift of any amount to the ministry. We have a question from John, who listens online in Chicago. A very quick question. He says, and it's a pretty good question, I think. Would you please explain the term sanctification and how do we get sanctified?
It's a good question. Richard, what is sanctification all about? That's one of those, quote, churchy words.
Yes, yeah, it's one of those $10 words.
Yeah, we don't use it at all in everyday language, but it's significant in the Bible, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And it's a very simple explanation for the word. It simply means to be set apart. And it's the work of God. It's the initiative of God into our lives to set us apart for what he needs us to do. How does he do that? With the Holy Spirit. Right, he gifts us. He knit us together in our mother's wombs. He knows who we are, what our talents are, what our education is. He knows how he can use that. And if we will accept him and walk by faith in Jesus Christ, he sanctifies us. He sanctifies us once and for all for salvation, and then continually reveals to us as we go through life how it is he wants to use us. And it's all his initiative. All our response. Yeah.
Yes, indeed. So as a believer, you have been sanctified. And as you grow in Christ, your mind gets renewed, mm-hmm. and you see this soul of yours and these actions of yours starting to align with who you really are in Christ.
Yes.
That's good news.
Yes, indeed.
Well, let's go and talk with Jose, listening to us in Robstown, Texas. Hi, Jose.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
You are more than welcome. How can we help you today?
Yes, sir. Could you explain to me that phrase where it says God's only begotten Son? And I'll hang up and listen to your answer.
Okay. Thank you, Jose. Thanks for your call today. We sure appreciate it. What does it mean, God's only begotten Son? We're referring to Jesus.
To Jesus.
The Bible is very clear about that. So what does that phrase mean? Did God give birth and Jesus was his son? That's how it sounds, doesn't it?
It does, but it's just really referring to the fact that Jesus emptied himself of his godness, took on human form, and was born of a woman. God implanted him there, so he was God's only begotten son, humanly speaking. In God terms, he's still fully God, but for humans, what a blessing that God gave him to us.
Yes, indeed. Jose, I hope that helps, and we certainly appreciate the question. And that's one of those questions that a lot of critics raise. Mm-hmm. You know, they want to nitpick and try to throw up all kinds of red flags. But I think your explanation is very simple and clear and makes it easily understood for us. So.
Yeah.
Richard, thanks for that.
Yes, indeed. We are just about out of time, friends, and we want to reiterate some of the things that we talked about earlier in the broadcast. First, about our conference, Stand 2014, Finding Solid Footing in a Broken World. That's our Bible conference featuring John Lynch, Andrew Farley, and Bob Christopher, June 19th through the 21st, and we hope that many of you from across the country or outside the country, as I've said before, will make your plans now to come and join us. For information and registration, visit stand2014.com. And today, of course, is the deadline for the special guest rate at Hilton Garden Inn for the conference. Those of you coming from out of town who need lodging, hotel information, too, is available at stand2014.com. So if you're coming to the conference and need accommodations, go online today to register. That special conference rate goes away after today. Also, I want to remind you once again about Bob's CD, About Spiritual Gifts, the opportunity to hear Bob reveal the provider of spiritual gifts, the purpose of spiritual gifts, and the power of spiritual gifts. It's yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. And To make your gift and request your copy today by phone, you can call 1-800-727-2828 and speak with our operator, 1-800-727-2828, or visit us online at basicgospel.net. Now for Bob and Richard and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow at the same time for another live edition of Basic Gospel.